Welcome back to the show with DJ Ringenberg and Matt McLaren on 103.3 FM ESPN.
Very fitting.
What is this?
It's Matt McLaren. It's DJ Ringenberg. It is the show here. ESPN Radio, 103.3 FM. And the Mavs very well may be up all night to get lucky. You think they'll have, like, they just called DeAndre at 11:01 and they're just blaring this music? Mark Cuban goes to his home wearing a silver helmet, completely covering his head.
Coop was on with the Afternoon Show boys yesterday, and they asked him about whether he felt that there was any tension within the organization regarding what happened previously with him. And Coop said, to his knowledge, that's all water under the bridge. That's business. That is really, if you look back at it objectively, DeAndre Jordan staying in L.A. with the promises that they were making him, it was the smarter basketball decision than to join the Mavs. I wholeheartedly believe that. That doesn't make it any less sorry of agreeing to the deal that he did and then backing out at the last second. But ultimately, we get very defensive about this kind of stuff, where if a guy's in your uniform, even if he's the biggest jerk on the planet, you love him. If he's on the other team, then you wish nothing but misfortune on him. And I think that people are going to change their tune pretty quick on DeAndre if that deal does end up happening.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I believe it was either Sefko in the morning news or Tim Cato with The Athletic, but one of them had the article kind of talking about some of the ways that the Mavs and Cuban in the past has held grudges. And at the time in 2015 that he basically had said, you know, I've got the texts between me and DeAndre and everything that went down, and one day I'm going to release those. When Jason Kidd originally left in 2012, and there's the quote from Cuban of, I know one thing, his number won't be in the rafters. You know, so things like that. But over the course of time, and it's been three seasons, it doesn't seem like a lot. It was just 3 years ago in 2015 when this happened. It seems like it was longer than that.
To me, it seems like it was more recent.
I thought it was like 5 years ago. And so the fact that it was only 3 years ago, I don't know, man. I look at DeAndre Jordan, and obviously he feels a need. He immediately, the day that if this goes down, the day he steps on the court, he becomes the greatest rebounder the Mavs have ever had in the history of their franchise. They've not had anybody on the level of a DeAndre Jordan.
I don't know about that. Tyson Chandler might have something to say about that.
Statistically, Chandler wasn't with the Mavs when he was putting up the numbers that DeAndre Jordan has put up the past five seasons.
Yeah, I guess if you have the stats, I can't argue with stats.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. I mean, this is a rebounding machine, a guy who can defend the rim. He's obviously extremely adept on the pick and roll, which Luka Doncic, coming out of the draft, runs the pick and roll, they said, better than anybody in the draft. So it kind of goes into play with what you've been doing. That being said, he turns 30 in a month, and I know technically you can still be in your prime at the age of 30, but I wonder, if this becomes a 4 or 5 year deal, are you looking at this almost like how we've looked at Shin-Soo Choo over the last couple of seasons of, why are you paying this dude $24 million at 34 years old?
The long-term deal right now really scares me.
Exactly, yes.
Because people are trying to sign DeMarcus Cousins. I don't think that DeMarcus Cousins, I don't think that signing him long-term or short-term really makes any sense for the team. I hope that this news... I don't like DeAndre Jordan. I really don't like anything about this at all, other than I understand the point that the team made where they're trying to win now only because they traded their pick away for next year, meaning that there's absolutely no incentive for them not to try to win this year. I completely understand that. I completely recognize it and give the organization credit for putting themselves in a position to where they have no choice but to get fans back into it, saying that we're going to be trying to win. But we're still probably 3 or 4 years away,
yes,
from any type of playoff contention, and saddling yourself with if you sign them to a 4 or 5 year deal with a aging player that's going to be making tons of money, that just creates problems down the line where they're going to have to maneuver, where they're going to get taken advantage of by someone via trade, trying to unload the last year of his contract, perhaps. It just seems like it creates more problems then it would actually help. I know that J-Dub City had that caller that challenged them to a steak dinner, I believe it was, that saying that the Mavericks are going to win 50 games this year.
Wow, the Mavs are going to win 50. They're going to make a jump from 24 to 50 in 1 year.
If the Mavs win 50 games this year, I might eat a shoe live on air, you know, or, you know, something.
All right, mark that down, please.
Something equally.
That's the best you could come up with.
Well, just in case it happens, June 30th, we need the audio that DJ will eat a shoe live on air if the Mavs win 50 games.
And we'll clarify whether that's sneaker, sandal.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Stiletto.
I mean, okay, whatever.
The point.
Shoe of your choice.
Shoe of my choice?
Yes.
Okay.
It's fine.
The point is that adding the pieces that you do and thinking that we're going to be able to jump teams like Minnesota, like Denver, like the Lakers if they add two superstars to their team. I don't think that this move really gets you there, and paying all of that money to a guy like DeAndre Jordan who completely spurned the team. He had a little bit of a down year last year. I recognize that that team had all sorts of problems, so I don't know that he had quite the incentive to max out his effort the way. It just seems like anyone who wants to come to the Mavericks right now, I'm very suspicious because they're not in a position to win. And if you're a good player in the league right now, the trend is that you do everything you can to get to a winner. So anyone who wants big money here, they're doing the exact opposite.
Could be, unless DeAndre believes that his only ability to get the longer-term contract would be through Dallas. Some of the contenders that have, I think what we're seeing here is two things. One of it is some of the guys that are outside of Philadelphia, but the contending teams that are going to be up there, they don't have the cap space. So how do you create the cap space to then DeAndre say, okay, I want to go join. He's going to have to take ridiculous low pay, you know, the mid-level exception or whatever, if he wants to go to like Golden State or Houston or a team like that. He wants to continue to get paid, which, you got to think, he opted out of his $24 million contract. I mean, he could have stayed in L.A. and made $24 million this year. So if he's opting out of that, he is in the belief that he's going to at least make $24 million next year.
He's looking for something long-term.
Right. And so in that case, if that's the key, maybe he is looking at a young Mavs team that got a couple of fun pieces. This could be a fun ride. Are we going to win the title? No. The 50-game thing is a pipe dream. You're not doing it. We need to pump the brakes. We had this conversation last week. You don't jump from 24 wins to 50 wins. LeBron James isn't coming here. Luka Doncic may end up being a great professional, but he's still going to need time. Dennis Smith Jr. is still developing. Harrison Barnes still is growing, and he's 26. So when you add somebody to these pieces, at some point you have to realize it's going to take 2-3 years for these guys to gel, to grow, to understand what Rick Carlisle is trying to get out of them. DeAndre Jordan is not the answer to come here and all of a sudden you're 26 wins better than you were last year.
And I'm just, again, suspicious. He's about to turn 30. He's looking for one more big deal, I would imagine, in order to close out his career. He's looking to cash in one more time. And I just hate to see the Mavericks used in that way as opposed to some of these teams where you bring in, where Golden State brings in these veterans like Andre Iguodala who are willing to take less money in order to be part of a winning franchise. That's on one end of the spectrum to where your team is so good that people are willing to take less money in order to go there. On the opposite end of the spectrum is where you're looking for guys to cash in, like Carmelo Anthony taking a big deal to stay in New York as opposed to going somewhere right and trying to win something. He took that deal absolutely knowing that they're never going to be good there whenever he's there because they're too cash-strapped to do anything other than pay him. And I feel like that's kind of similar here. You have the young pieces. You have guys like Doncic and DSJ who aren't making a ton of money. I think Harrison Barnes and Dwight Powell are pretty much the only guys that are making any kind of money from the Mavericks, along with Wes Matthews. One more year of Wes Matthews, but it just doesn't really feel right to me. It's like we're trying to rush this process along and trying to avoid the prolonged rebuild whenever it just doesn't really happen that way unless you draft a legitimate superstar. Maybe Doncic becomes a superstar, but can't project that right now. That's just not fair to any draft pick to project that he's going to be a franchise saver before he's even played a game.
It's Matt McLaren, it's DJ Ringenberg here on the show talking about the possibility, the big possibility, that DeAndre Jordan could be a Maverick as early as 12 hours from right now. But when you look at this overall, and I think as we have this conversation, one of the things on the positive side of this is the Mavs are going to go get their guy. That is one thing that Mark Cuban and this franchise has always tried to do, sometimes to their detriment.
And they can afford it, too.
Yes, and one thing I do like about this, last year, openly admitting that you were tanking, with the young players that you have, with Dwight Powell, Dennis Smith Jr., even Yogi to some extent, when you have a young group like that, you don't want them to learn that that's how you play, that that's how you mentally approach the game. And sure, so now by going after this, even if they don't get to the playoffs, if you go all in and you say, look, we're about winning. You got a guy in Luka Doncic that all he's done is won. Jalen Brunson's coming in. All he's done is won. Now, DeAndre Jordan hadn't quite gotten there, but he's been in the playoffs many times. That helps to create that winning mental attitude that can jump you from 24 to, let's say, 36 wins, which is more realistic. Then the next year, you can target that jump to the 47 or 48 wins, getting back into the playoffs and making a mix.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I mean, it's far-fetched a little bit. You know, it is best-case scenario.
Sure.
Whenever we're talking about making double-digit win jumps.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, that's what your target has to be. Because the last thing you want to do, you can rebuild and still grow and win 32, 33 games. And still go out and try to get the DeAndre Jordans of the world to show. You got to show Dennis Smith Jr. and Luka and this young core. We're a winning franchise. We're about winning. We're not okay with what happened last year. That's unacceptable.
Based on last year, if we're making the jump for the Mavericks from 24 to 38, that would put them 11th in last year's standings in the West. Let's just kind of play it out in our heads here. Clippers are probably going to fall down, I would imagine. They finished 9th last year, so let's even jump them. So it seems like we're looking at a 9th place finish tops, and that's not even taking into account to the Lakers being up there and taking a big jump as well. So somewhere in the 11 to 12 is probably realistic. You would think that the Mavericks are probably going to finish with a better record than Phoenix, Memphis, because it's impossible to imagine that that team is going to stay healthy for an entire season based on history, based on everything. Ever. Sacramento, you'll probably be better than them, and then you'll probably be better than the Clippers. So you have four teams in the West that I feel fairly comfortable saying that you're going to be better than, and that includes with DeAndre Jordan, but the report last night, as we transition back to reality a little bit, Mark Stein, the New York Times, reporting that the Warriors know this has a marginal chance of success, but league sources say they intend to at least explore their free agent chances with DeAndre Jordan. He would have to take the mid-level exception of $5.3 million. It would put them pretty deep into cap hell. Apparently that $5.3 is going to cost them a lot of money down the line whenever they have to pay their tax bill. But the Warriors get it on the back end, though, because they make all of that money on everything else, on being a successful franchise. That the investment of the tax, you know, the extra taxes, the luxury tax penalty that you're going to have to pay to bring that in. And it seemed, whenever I first read that, I thought that was kind of strange, because if you look at the makeup of their team last year, they had a ton of centers. They had a ton of guys on their bench that don't really play more than like 5 minutes. But all of a sudden, if you say bye to Pachulia, you say bye to, what's his name? The goofy guy. JaVale, yeah. I don't know why I can't remember his name. Who actually had a pretty good playoff run in limited time. But if you say bye to him, and then you have DeAndre Jordan and Jordan Bell as your two centers, all of a sudden, that Warriors team gets even better. That's kind of a scary thought there, and it leaves the Mavericks on the doorstep once again, just left outside. That would be pretty crushing.
Well,
if the Mavericks and fans are getting their hopes up for this again, they've talked themselves into welcoming him back after turning your back on him, vice versa, and then he goes to the Warriors. That's probably worst case scenario.
You think?
There might be riots whenever the Warriors come to Dallas.
Whatever the name was of the caller to J-Dub City that has the Mavs winning 50, that makes them the third best team in the conference in one season behind Houston and Golden State. No other team won 50 last year. That was it. Houston and Golden State, the only teams in the conference that won 50 or more.
So he's thinking that the Mavs are going to be hosting first-round playoff games next year.
That means they're better than all of a sudden Utah, New Orleans, San Antonio, Minnesota, Denver, Portland, Oklahoma City.
Maybe.
Hmm.
Maybe if...
All because of DeAndre Jordan, huh?
Maybe if DeAndre lures in LeBron, who's floating out there.
Yeah,
you think
Mavs
about that?
Would have to do... Well, he opted out, though.
Would LeBron start...
To sign and trade, you got to get rid of Matthew's contract. So it'd be LeBron and DeAndre.
Would Dirk still start if you had LeBron and DeAndre?
Yeah.
I'd want to, yeah.
Yeah, and then Luka and DSJ.
You sign LeBron, okay. But you say you're going to have to come off the bench, though.
All right, we'll find out in all seriousness how this will play out. Again, NBA free agency at 11:01 p.m. tonight here, Dallas time. Agreements will start being made. Will DeAndre be a Mav? Less than 12 hours from now, we may know.